just soften the hearts and open the ears of people that are listening, Lord, so that what your intention for them to hear and get from this message will actually take place. I just thank you and praise you. In your name I pray. Amen. All right, so I'm going to share a couple of personal stories, which I'm going to try not to get choked up about, which I'm already half there. So, so growing up, I was a very independent child. I had a single mom with three kids, and my younger brother was 4 years younger than me, and my older sister never wanted to play with me. She always wanted to hang out in her room, and I was annoying to her. So I spent most of my time just running around doing whatever, and my mom really didn't worry about me unless I wasn't home when the streetlights went on. I did a lot for myself. When I was 17, my mom had ran out of the house to roll up her car windows because it was going to rain, and on her way out, she fell, hit her head, and broke her neck, and she was paralyzed from the neck down. At that point, she then spent the next 2 years in the hospital and in rehab, and I was pretty much left to be independent, which I had gotten pretty good at. And Shandy, that song, or not Shandy, but Shawnee, that song that you, In the Eye of the Storm, that first verse blew me away when I never remembered it until you sang it. And I was like, wow, you know, I really did feel like the rug was just pulled out from under me at that point. But I didn't feel like I needed anyone to help me through that time. I felt like I had it. I could handle it. I could do it. That's what I was going to do. Shortly after, I ended up walking away from the Lord, and I graduated high school. I left for college, and I made a lot of mistakes and bad choices because I wasn't following the Lord. It's not a bad thing to be independent, but we were created to need each other. We were created to be relational beings, to have and build relationships with one another, and to be in a relationship with the Lord. We weren't created to be. Christianity is not a solo act. We weren't created to do life on our own. James 5:16 is where I'm going to open at. You can turn in your Bibles along with me, or I can just read it. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. My first point I want to talk about is how we need each other. Why does James tell us to confess our sins to one another here? Well, he's telling us this because we need to be accountable to people. We set to live our lives, and we struggle with sin, every single one of us, and we struggle with things that the world just throws at us. And so we need to be accountable to one another, and we need to encourage one another and not go through life alone. We need to be strengthened by one another. We need to build one another up, and we need to pray for one another so that we can be healed. Sometimes we can go through life and put people in certain on a pedestal, thinking, okay, this person's not going to hurt me, they're not going to disappoint me, but that's not the case. People, we hurt each other. We say things that are not okay. We do things that are not okay. We are definitely going to disappoint one another. And if you think that you're not going to be disappointed, then you're setting yourself up for disappointment. We make mistakes because we are human. That's just the way it is. And so if you're not willing to, as a person, put the sacrifice and the time that it takes into a relationship to be able to give grace to people who hurt you or people who offend you, and if you're not going to be willing to overlook those or even just have a conversation with them, the hardest thing you could do is confront someone that's hurt you. If you're not willing to do that, then you're going to be alone. You're cutting off those relationships that God may have put in your life. So you just can't do life alone. And life is so much easier and much more enjoyable when you can do it together. You build one another up. You laugh a lot. I do, anyways. And the second point is we need God. We need his strength. James tells us here that this is how we do battle. It's kind of like he says, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. He's telling us then, right then and there, how to do battle. He's telling us that in conjunction with the fact that we need each other, we also need God. We need to be in prayer. And how many here think they're righteous? Only a couple? 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. We might become the righteousness of God. Through Christ's sacrifice on the cross, we are righteous. He made us righteous for those who have a right relationship with him. So if we're righteous, then that means that our prayers are powerful and effective, right? Satan doesn't want us to know that. He doesn't want us to believe that our prayers are powerful and effective. He wants us to feel defeated, live in doubt, and not believe that God really cares and hears and has, and our prayers can make a difference. So prayers can do many things in our lives. And I apologize. I was supposed to give Aaron this so it can go up on the screen, and I didn't. So I'll try to go slow but and not too fast. So prayer can do many things in our lives. It brings us closer to God and makes his presence more real to us. It brings healing, grace, mercy, and peace. It brings rescue from trouble. How many of us have been there? I know I have. And I remember I'd be like, okay, Lord, I won't do it again. Just get me out of this. I promise you I will turn around a new leaf. I will not do that again. And I did it again. It brings honor to God with praise and thanksgiving. Prayer is worship. It will clarify God's purposes in our lives. If you're ever wondering what your purpose is, I think the hardest thing for me was to find my purpose. And I constantly struggled with, okay, Lord, what do you want to do in me? What do you want to do through me? I feel a desire to be used by him, but I just couldn't figure it out. And, you know, as long as I was trying to do it on my own, I wasn't getting the answer. And it wasn't until I got on my knees and really sought after him that I got my answer. So he will clarify those purposes in your life. It strengthens us, it strengthens our family, and it strengthens our church. If you feel like you have nothing to pray for in your life personally, I don't know if any of us are ever there, but if you ever do, you can always pray for your church. You can always pray for your ministry leaders, because that's what we need to do. We can always pray for the leaders of our country, because those prayers are always needed. So if you're ever wondering what to pray for, you know, you feel like, I know I've been there sometimes. Okay, God, I feel like I've done the routine stuff. Now what do I do? It's been 5 minutes. Pray. You could pray about your country. Pray for your leaders. It'll bring power for ministry, and that's really important. It gives insight into Christ's provision for us. It brings wisdom, revelation, and the knowledge of Christ. If you want to get to know God a little bit better, spend some time in prayer, because he will reveal himself to you in ways that you won't get to know him in those ways if you're not in prayer. It opens a way to a spirit-filled life and enables us to receive spiritual gifts. If you think you're ever at the top level with God, just dig a little deeper, because I guarantee he's got a lot farther to bring you, and he's got a lot more things to just bless your life with and to enrich your Christian walk with. So those are just a few benefits. But just with those few, there's so many more, but just with those few, we can completely understand why Satan does not want us to believe that our prayers are powerful and effective. He wants to keep us so busy and so distracted, and it's not always his fault. Sometimes we do it to ourselves. We keep ourselves so busy and distracted that we neglect our prayer. We neglect spending time with the Lord, and that can make us weak. I have an analogy here. I just want to ask you all, think about what it's like when you're hungry. I know for my husband, he gets depleted in energy, physically weak, I can't do anything until I eat, that's what he says, makes unhealthy choices. You grab the first sweet thing, quickest, fastest thing that you can get to shove it in your mouth. You have less patience for those around you, especially when those are the ones that are making the meal because you can't make it fast enough because they're standing over you, you know, like, hurry up and cook, make this food. They can feel sick, you can feel tired, and crankiness. It makes you hangry, right? Well, the same thing happens when you don't pray, but only in a spiritual sense. You become spiritually hangry. You're spiritually depleted. You're spiritually weak. You make quick decisions, like trying to go solo. Do it without God. It's never a good idea. You have less grace for those who are around you. You become spiritually tired, and you have a difficult time focusing on God. One of the things that I notice is when I'm not prayed up, when I'm not spending time in prayer with the Lord, when I go to finally go, oh, yeah, okay, I haven't prayed in a while, and I go to pray, it's a hard thing to do. Like, I don't feel connected to him. I can't focus on him. It's harder when you're not prayed up, when your spirit's not full. And sometimes you can feel lost and alone. Have you ever felt like you're going through life alone and you're like, wait, God, I thought you were with me the whole time, but I feel alone. So why? How can I feel alone if I know you're with me? When we become spiritually hangry, we open ourselves up for attacks from Satan. It keeps us from being sensitive to his voice, because if we're not in the spirit, our spirits are not full, we're not going to hear God. Because God speaks in whispers. And it can sometimes damage our Christian witness. Remember that less grace for others? When you're not prayed up, you're more willing to snap at people, have less grace for them, get grumpy, and maybe lash out. You know, I don't know. I'm not speaking from experience or anything. We need to be prayed up, right? When we're physically hangry, we recognize it pretty easily. When we don't have food, we know why. We understand why. But when we're spiritually hangry, sometimes it can take us days, weeks, or even months to figure out what's going on. Why don't I feel God? I don't understand what's going on. Why do I feel alone? Why am I having a hard time in this area? Why am I not finding answers in this area? And you know, we can pray every day before we start our day and say a quick prayer here and there. That's okay, but the prayer that I'm talking about is the digging deep prayer. We need to get deep with God. We need to give him time. It's a relationship, remember? It's not something that goes by quick. If you looked at your spouse and said, hi, in the morning, okay, see you later, and then didn't talk to them again until right before you went to bed, and then they'd be pretty mad at you. God is very forgiving. I've done that many times to him. So we need to actually dig deep, though. You know, we need to, even if it's like, it doesn't have to be every day. I feel like that if you just set aside time a few days a week to just, I'm going to take a half hour and really focus on God. But the one thing that helps us, that will help us, is discipline. We need to be intentional. And we need to be disciplined. Nobody likes that word, discipline, right? But it's crucial to our Christian walk, and this is why. It helps us to establish a routine, because prayer is the easiest thing to neglect. We get busy. Oh, I'll pray in a minute. I'll pray in a minute. I'll pray in a minute. And so many things are going to come up, and you're not going to pray, or you're going to run out of time. That half hour that you set aside goes by really fast when you get busy doing other things. Discipline in our prayer lives will keep our spirits full, and it allows us to dig deeper with God. If your spirit is full when you start to pray, think of how much deeper you're going to go in that prayer time than you would if you were starting with an empty spirit. We can experience more breakthroughs, and we're less likely to go solo. Satan wants us to fail, and if we try to serve God on our own, we're going to. But God wants us to surround ourselves with others, brothers and sisters in Christ, and he wants us to draw from him. An example of that in my life would be Todd and I were married for about 4 months, and he got deployed to Somalia. And back then, they didn't have Skype or FaceTime or, you know, they couldn't just pick up a cell phone and call. I'm not saying I'm old. It just dawned on me that I might have, was like way back when in the Stone Age. No, it was before cell phones, though. Okay, don't think about that. I would get letters in the mail, and every letter that I got, I knew it was written 2 weeks from that date, because that's how long it took the mail to get from Somalia to my house, was 2 weeks. So I knew when I got that letter, I knew that he was alive. I worked at a drugstore, so I saw the papers all the time. And there was one point in this battle that the Somali people had decided that they no longer wanted the American soldiers in their country, so they started fighting with the American soldiers who were there to help them. And that's when the loss of life for American soldiers was really high, and I would see the headlines in the paper, and I would know, okay, well, I got a letter on this date, so I know he was alive then, but I'm not sure what's happened since then. And, you know, I was holding it together pretty good. I was like, okay, I got this. Falling back into my old routine of things. And then I saw a headline on a paper that said either 10 or 12 Americans were dead. And they had a picture of a Somali dragging a soldier's body through the streets. And I remember looking at that picture, trying to find anything that was familiar on that body that was being dragged, and just to see if I could tell if it was Todd or not. I went home from work that night early because I broke down at work. I just couldn't take it anymore. And I was alone in my apartment, and I didn't want to reach out to his mom because I didn't want her to be worried, and I felt totally alone, and I didn't know what else to do, so I sat down, I opened my Bible. This gets emotional for me, because I said, Lord, I don't know if he's alive or dead, but I need your help, because I can't do this on my own anymore. And that's all I had to say. And like at once, I felt so much peace just drop on me. It was like, boom, there you go, you know. And I just was just covered with peace. And at that point in time, I knew right then and there that he was alive, that he was okay. And at that point, I learned a lesson. And that lesson was, I can't do this alone. I can't do it without God, and I can't do it without people. Because I know that if I would have went to his mom, we probably would have prayed together. We probably would have talked about it, you know. I know that if I would have been doing what I was supposed to be doing, and my spirit would have been full, that the Lord would have spoke to me right then and there at my job and said, he's good. Don't worry. I got this. I'm going to give you the strength to get through it. But I was spiritually empty, so I wasn't able to hear him or feel him with me. And that's when I panicked. When I was trying to remain strong and have faith on my own, it didn't work. But when I turned to God, he showed me that only he could give me what I needed the most at that very moment. Acts 2:42, I just want to say, the early church, this was during the early church when the apostles, right after Christ had ascended into heaven, and the early church got started. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to the fellowship of the breaking of bread and prayer. And I think they were the early church, and they had the basics down. This is what they did. And the next verse, verse 43, said, everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. And this really stuck out to me, because they were doing everything together. They were breaking bread together. They were fellowshipping. They were having relationships with one another that were healthy, that they were supporting one another, and they were praying together. And what was the result of that? Everyone was filled with awe, and many wondrous and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. God showed up, you know? God showed up. And this group of people in this church are wonderful. Every one of you are wonderful. Everybody that I've met is just, I feel so blessed to be surrounded by so many wonderful people that encourage and lift me up and just help me to be the best that I can be. And I know that you guys want to be there. You're there for one another, and you want to be there for me as well. But think about what we could experience as a body of believers if we were disciplined in leaning on God, but we were also intentional about leaning on one another. Maybe getting back to the basics is something that we need in our lives, and stop letting the busyness and the distractions of life dictate what our relationships with each other and with God are going to be like. I really felt that this message was specific to someone tonight, and I had a lot of confirmations of that just through worship and even what Pastor was talking about. Being independent is not a bad thing. It's okay to be that way, but you got to lean on other people. You can't do this on your own. And I thank you for being there for me, because I know that if I ever needed anyone, I know I could just come to you and talk with you about it. But if you're struggling with just doing it alone, or you don't feel like you have the relationship with your a brother or a sister in Christ, someone that's trustworthy, pray and ask God to bring that into your life. And develop discipline, because that is the key to being able to live life with a full spirit.
That was amazing. Give her another big God bless you. Come on. That was just amazing. Did they have Marco Polo back then when Todd was? No, I'm just joking. Hey, listen, I want you to stay up here just for a minute. You know what I was thinking of? I wanted to ask you this. You talked about letting people in. It seems to me a lot of times that people, they put walls up. Does anybody put walls up? Does anybody put walls? Come on, be honest. Come on. Let me see your hand. Why do you do that? Why do you do that, Chuck? Yeah, pride. He said he don't want to be a source of gossip. If I went around the room, I'd get different answers all over. But the problem with putting a wall up, have you ever put a wall up?
Oh, yes, all the time.
You still do?
Yes.
How is anybody going to get close to you and you pray for them if you got a wall up?
I have to ask God to help me tear it down.
And does he?
Yes.
Good.
Well, as much as I'll let him, that's the key. As much as I'll let him.
Say it again.
As much as I'll let him, because if I don't... Okay, so let me have the microphone. If you're not willing to let those walls come down and you're not willing to let God take the lead in your life to help you break down those walls, then as much as you struggle and pray and fight to keep those walls, to ask God to have those walls be brought down, you, as long as you're holding them there, because he's not going to force us to do anything, you have to be willing. And that's part of the learning process. For God, I think.
Yeah. And so when you let the wall down, you become vulnerable.
Yes, that's hard.
And then that's the place where the first scripture you read out of James, to pray one for the other. Why?
So that you can be healed. So that you can be healed.
Is that important?
That is very important, because if you can't... You can't go through life broken, and willingly go through life broken. You have to allow God to break down those. Yeah, because that's what you're doing. When you're not allowing God to break down those walls and you're holding them, then you're willingly going through life broken.
Did you just hear that? That was gold right there. Praise God. Father, I just want to say thank you tonight for the power of your word. And I thank you so much for Cheryl and Todd and their entire family, Lord, that you'll continue to use them and use so many others here, I pray, in a powerful way, God. We give you praise and glory for that. Tonight I pray, even before each one leaves, that, Lord, we will reach out to one another, that, God, we will lower the, as some people have told me, they have a moat. It will lower the bridge and let somebody in that can help and pray for us. Thank you, Lord, for it tonight. Praise your name. Praise your name. Just take your eyes closed, your heads bowed, just for a minute. Just take a moment right now. Just a couple moments and pray. Let God soften and open up your heart tonight. Maybe the very answer you need is connected with you just talking to him just for a moment. Maybe praying for that one who has been a source of contention. Maybe praying for that one who has just hurt you or bothered you or even done something intentional to you. When you pray for them, then you're healed. Hallelujah, Lord. We thank you, Lord, tonight. Mend up. Mend those who are brokenhearted here tonight. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Todd, Cheryl, would you just come down, stand right in the front? Todd, come up, stand next to your wife. I'm going to just have them down here. If you need prayer tonight, I trust these two with all of my life. And if you need prayer tonight, come on down before you leave. Let them pray over you and believe God with you for something great to happen in your life. If you don't want to come down here and you want prayer, go to ask somebody near you, hey, will you pray for me tonight? Will you believe God? In fact, Chuck, you come on up here too. And I just feel like some people, you came, you brought some things in, but the Lord's going to help you. Chuck, would you come on over here? Would you kind of flank them? The Lord's going to help you. For some of you, you need to be set free. For some of you, you're just carrying around stuff. You've been hurt. Maybe it was when you were younger. Disappointment has defined your life. The Lord wants to set you free from that. He really does. He wants to lift you out of that. God, may it be so, I pray, in this house tonight, in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. You need prayer? You come on down. Let one of these folks pray over you. I love you. Make sure you tell somebody else before you leave tonight that you love them.